Well, good morning, church. Good to have you all here. Good to have some folks in the room. It is a privilege to be able to preach to people live. I know some of you are feeling a little better about masking up and coming back in to the on-campus worship. It's certainly good to have you here. For those of you who are continuing to join us online that are liking and sharing and encouraging others to connect in the heart of ministry, how awesome and wonderful that is, that technology. When I was away out in Colorado camping in some places where I was completely off the grid, it kind of felt good for a while. You know, it was neat to be able to pop in and still be able to get some internet in some places and be able to join with you online in the worships to listen to the wisdom that Paul shared on week one in this series of slowing down, to hear Pastor Frank share in the second week of not only how we're lived sent, but how we're lived with authority, how we're sent with authority that comes from God because we are God's people. And to listen to the wisdom that Stephen shared with us last week about this purpose that we have in living sent with that authority. And if we stop and we listen to God, we put him at the center, he puts us right into the conversations and relationships that he wants us to be in. So I want to encourage you, continue to engage in the midst of ministry. If you're joining us online, if you're watching, you know, there's something far greater, and that's called connection. And we want to help connect you in a deeper, more awesome relationship with Jesus Christ. And that means that you have to come a little bit nearer. So we invite you to come near. Come onto the website, to the Brushfire piece, to the online campus. You'll see it right there. It allows you to fill out a connection card. It also allows you to fill out a prayer request. That's a way you begin to get connected. And we begin to know who you are. You begin to know who we are. And we begin to walk in this journey with Christ. So don't be just anonymous out there on the camera or out in your home. Let's be community. God calls us into the midst of community in some powerful ways. You know, we live in a time in our world where there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of uncertainties. Every week on the news, there's more stuff, and it can kind of be easy to wake up frustrated or a little bit depressed in the morning or a little bit hopeless or you know, what decisions do we make? What do we do now? You know, I was watching a show the other night, and it was interesting. A little girl woke up, and there was nobody around anywhere, and it's like, whoa, what happened? And she walks out of the house and begins to walk out, and she sees all the people in the town standing by a fence line, and they're leaning over the fence line, and they're looking, and she says, well, what are you doing? And says, we're watching the sunrise. He said, but why? Because we know we get another day. You know, it kind of hit me. You know, if you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling hopeless, you're feeling like, man, well, what's the day going to bring? Well, guess what? The sun still rose. And because the sun rises, the Lord Jesus hasn't returned yet. He's still got a lot for us to do. And his hope and his promise is in the midst of the world that gives us the opportunity to be his people, speaking into the world the gospel truth and the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but the sun rose this morning. And we get a chance to be here. So I just want to encourage you, let your heart be lifted up as we dive into this message today. I want to go to another step of this series, Slowing Down. And I remember the first three saying, man, Pastor Craig's going to wrap this thing up. And yes, I am. Because today is really important because we've already talked about how we're called to live sent. That's who you are as a Christian. If you've asked the Lord Jesus in your life, you're here on this earth for a reason until the Lord takes you home. And Frank, I thought, Pastor Frank, or Latino pastor, I thought shared so beautifully that said, you know, you have authority, you have divine authority to speak and to be. You're an ambassador for Christ, and you get diplomatic immunity in the midst of the world to speak the truth of the gospel. How awesome that is. And as Stephen shared, we get purpose to live in that. But I want to speak to something more because I think there's still a hesitancy out there. And I've been listening carefully over the last weeks that what are the pushbacks to actually living sent, to engage people's lives, to speak hope and promise in people's lives? And what are the pushbacks? What's coming back? And the thing I consistently hear is, I'm not sure I'm prepared. I'm not sure what to say. I don't know what to do. What if I say the wrong thing? That's what I want to speak to today. Because it's the absolute truth that if you have the Lord in your heart, you're living sin. But my role for you in this church is to equip you to be ministers of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, we do things together as a church. You saw that a day in the life of CDK, man. Every day is a day in the life. It's crazy around here. There's a lot of ministry going on, and sometimes nice to get off the grid a little bit sometimes. But we get the privilege to be the church. We get the privilege, and with that comes hard things, but with that comes awesome things because lives are transformed in the gospel. We get to do this, and we'll do things together as a church, but the key equipping is that you and me are out in the world all week long. And it's very important that I help equip you to live well in where you're going when you leave this house of worship or this online experience in the message. The role is to prepare you to be the church and to not be afraid to engage and to slow down and to speak life in the midst of things that are hard. That's what I want to go at today. To be vulnerable. To be willing to be vulnerable in front of people. Not afraid, just vulnerable. And secondly, to be able to slow down enough by which God can speed up. That may sound weird, but you know, if you slow down enough and you sow the seeds that God wants you to sow, God moves in and radically changes. But if you don't slow down, nothing happens. We just move by. Now, when we talk about slowing down, I'm talking about just physical slowing down. COVID-19 has slowed us down, right? It slowed down the economy. It slowed down our lives. You know, I'm no longer having conversations with families going, you know, you may need to carve some time out in your life for Jesus because your life's so crammed with all the things we're doing with our kids and our families and our travels, and all of a sudden everything came to a screeching halt. I'm not talking about the physical slowing down. I'm talking about the spiritual slowing down to engage in the lives of people more significantly. It's about intention, and it's about how we go about life intentional for people. How many of you would love to be a blessing to someone's life? You know, I can't imagine anyone not wanting to be. You know, get up in the morning and go, live with anticipation because you are a called child of God. Live with an anticipation. I want to bless lives today. You are in the world to bless lives today. God put you here for a reason, okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It's not on the screen. I'm going to bring the piece on the screen in a minute. But if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up. If you're on the online app, online campus app, the Bible's right there. Just put your finger on it. It'll show up. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. I want to read you this because it'll lead into where I want to go next. It says this. Finally, Peter's speaking to the church. Finally, all of you, he's speaking to Christians, all of you have unity of mind, okay? What is unity of mind? It's not that we're going to all do the same thing. It means that we're all unified in Christ. We're unified in our direction. We're unified that what we want to bless in the world is longstanding because it's the blessing that God wants to give, okay? He says, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Okay, that's the way we want to go out. So I want to prepare you. You know, have a tender heart and a humble mind. It means my heart is open and my heart is tender to learn and I'm going to share love. And sympathy means I'm going to seek to understand. I'm going to be unified with Christ. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Don't get involved in that. But on the contrary, listen to this, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Let me read that again. Bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So if you are called and sent, and you have the authority, you are called to be a blessing. We get to do this. It's not just something we want to do. We will be it as we go out into the world. And he goes on in verse 10, he says, for whoever desires to love life and and see good days. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Okay? So we are called to bless, and Peter begins to give instruction as to how we go out in the world simply in order to bless. Things that we shouldn't do and things that we should do, because we're aligning ourselves different from the culture and the ideals and values around us. We're going out with the ideals and values and promises of God. That's what he gets to give us. There's nothing more awesome than to be able to bless lives. So we want to slow down so we can do it. So from what I just read you, this is the passage I want to focus in on. It picks up at verse 15 in 1 Peter chapter 3. In the ESV version it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone," hear that, "to everyone who asks you for a reason for the what? Hope that is in you," okay? We are called to share hope. It's the most awesome thing we get to do. But we don't want to share a false hope, do we? You know, there's a whole lot of placating that goes on out there. Let me just agree with you. Let me just calm you down. Let me just speak you off the fence. And there's a whole lot of enabling going on. Let me just feed where you're going. And then where you're going ends up destroying your life because it's just enabling. It's not speaking hope. That's a false hope. It might get you by for a moment, but it's not good for your life in the whole scheme of things. You see, to bless a life is actually to help a life and to transform a life, not to enable it or placate or anything else. We want to share the gospel good news of Jesus. And we have something we get the gift to bring. But how are we going to do it? Peter knows this is hard. Listen, he's writing to a world that we think our world's in a mess. Man, with the age Peter is writing in first century Rome, that's a difficult world. There's a lot happening and a lot of struggle. He is speaking to the types of environments that we're living in right here today. And he's given us wisdom as to how to be the church. Now, the second part of this phrase in 1 Peter chapter 3, you've probably heard before. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks for you to reason for the hope that is in you. You've probably heard that before. I think I've preached on it before or used it as reference. But how many of you paid attention to the first half of that passage? There we go. You see, we like to hurry to the good stuff, and we miss sometimes the whole context of the scripture. I hear all the time, let's pull this out of scripture, and it gives me validation, and this gives me validation. But the Bible's written as a whole, and it's really important to grab the whole piece to understand the depth of it. Coming off what I just shared with you, when Peter's saying, you are called to be a blessing, so be careful what you do. Go with humble hearts, with tender hearts. Be careful that you go out with peace, that you don't share evil for evil. This, literally, you're speaking good for God. So how do we do it? He goes in verse 15, he opens up and says, first, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. How many of us do that before we go out? What does sanctify mean? In the ESV version, it reads many other ways in other versions. It really means to make your heart holy. But it says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, what are you saying? You just put "in me" at the end of that phrase and you get it right. That's what disciples were asking Jesus to teach them to pray. He was pulling them from a secular world to a God world, okay? He was pulling them from what their understanding was out here to here. And that shift happens when the Lord reigns in us. Your kingdom come in me, God. Your will be done in me, God. Before we can do anything else that the Lord's Prayer tells us to do, before we can do anything else God wants us to do, the first thing that has to happen is his kingdom has to reign in us and his will has to live within us, right? Okay? That's what it means to be sanctified in the Lord. It means that I want to be aligned with God. God is holy, and I want the holiness of God to be in me. Now, that should give every one of us in this room and every one of you listening online some direction. And that direction gives you discernment. Okay? I have to have discernment. What helps me discern? What helps me discern is this is right and this is wrong. How do I know what is right and how do I know what is wrong? Because of the Word of God. God came into the world to bring life to the world, right? Okay? He didn't come to kill the world. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, but I came to save the world, okay? He wasn't going to deal with all the judgment. He was going to speak life into the practices and ways and thoughts and patterns and blessings that all of us get to bring so that we can be a blessing in the midst of the world. So how do I do that? Stephen shared last week, he says, we go out in purpose. First thing we have to do, we have to listen to God. That's a sanctifying of God. Am I just going to agree? Am I blessing someone by agreeing with them? Or do I want to be sanctified in the Lord? God, would you show me in your word how it is you want me to bless and bring life here? Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're treading on holy ground. Wouldn't you like to do that? You're actually stopping. You're beginning to step in a crossover. You're moving from a cultural perspective now to a godly perspective. You're about to step in a place by which God dwells, because he dwells within the holiness. And he's going to give you a word that's able to speak a truth that's not just going to keep the thing rolling toward death, but actually brings an upward spiral toward life. Imagine what that would look like in a marriage, or raising kids, or speaking injustice issues, or helping someone struggling with depression, or whatever the case is. Wherever you're meeting people every day, God has a word, but the first thing we do is sanctify ourselves in the Lord. Lord, help me to hear from you. I want to align with your word. So how do we do that? Well, one is simple. We need to know the word more. And that, I hope that's an encouragement, because all of you raised your hand in the room, and maybe you did online, that you want to bless people. You'll bless people even more the more you know the word of God. And then your discernment will rise. And you will be able to discern what is good and what is evil. What isn't really going to end up with where you think it's going to go. And that's what happens oftentimes. We just keep feeding a system that's going to end up just decaying because it's not in God's way. And we're really critical times in the midst of our world. Listen, you are not going to get this from the news. You're not going to get this from the culture. You're not going to get it from any organization, because nothing out there is preaching the word of God. Okay? That's the church's role in the world. But you will get a lot of information, and we have to live in a discernment in that information, sanctified in the heart of God to know what is truth and what will lead to life versus what will lead to death, as we're slowing down and we are engaging in the conversations. Amen, church? How important that is, as Paul said, as Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts now. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope within you. When you're talking hope, you're talking about something that's going to transform a life, not something that's going to keep a life in captivity. Let me say it again. When you are sharing hope, when you're blessing a life, you're leading a life to a place of freedom, as we talk about in our mission, not on a continued place of captivity. And it's difficult for our world to understand the difference. So we have to be discerning. If it is not of God, if it's not of God's ideals, if it's not in the Word of God, then we will miss the boat, okay? We won't get it right, and we'll continue in the same cultural trends and conversations and placations and enabling that continues to go on. I had a major leader in Charlotte. We were talking together this past week, and we're having some really difficult conversations on the things that have been going on. And he asked me, he says, Pastor Craig, how did this happen? And he said, well, I'm not really sure which Christian voice to listen to. And I said, thank you for being honest. I said, there's only one Christian voice. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Word of God is the truth. And you might want to discern the voices, and which ones are following the Word of God is the right voice. Follow that one and you will be set free, right? Isn't that what Jesus says? In me, I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life. Let me say it again. I am the way and the truth and life, Jesus says. There is no other way. If we're off that track, if we're doing things that aren't following Jesus, it's going to not lead to life. It has a short-term effect. But we get the privilege of slowing down and engaging lives in a powerful way. Paul writes it in Colossians this way in chapter 4 of Colossians. You can write that in your notes. Chapter 4 of Colossians, begin with verse 5. It's not on your screen, but it goes like this. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Wisdom is the same kind of wisdom that the Bible's speaking of that comes from God. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Don't waste your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, life-giving, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. See, there's a discerning, but there's a vulnerability. You're not just placating. You're not just agreeing. You're thinking critically. You're thinking intentionally. You're aligning yourself with the holiness of God, with the ideals of God, because there's more to you than just the culture. We are human beings that live within the framework of this world, but we're not of it. We're of heaven. And God has us here intentionally. You know, I think of Jesus. I think of Jesus walking on the face of the earth over 2,000 years ago. His ministry was only 3 years, from age 30 to age 33. Now, how busy would your life be if you had to accomplish all of it in 3 years? And we're not even perfectly in the mind of God. Sometimes I have to wonder, Jesus, what, were you ever thinking, how am I going to get all this done? I got to work 24 hours a day, every day. How is it ever going to happen? But yet, we found Jesus hiding to pray, getting away from it all. And we didn't see him rushing from one town to the next like on his supersonic camel. He didn't use Star Trek tactics. Beam me up, Scotty. I need to be over here by 6 a.m. He walked. And he met someone along the road. It might have been a funeral procession. It might have been a centurion soldier, by all people, the evil ones, who's saying, would you heal my servant? Or it might have been a woman who's drawing water at a well at a very odd time of the day, noon. And he stopped. It might have been a man who is hated by the culture, Zacchaeus. A tax collector, the government. Hey, can we have dinner together? He slowed down. And when he slowed down, because he was in prayer and because his heart was sanctified, it was holy, he was aligning with God, he could speak such life into people all along the way that changed the trajectory of the death direction they were going. Hear that, church? Wouldn't you like to do that? He didn't just agree with Zacchaeus as a government official. He didn't just agree with the centurion as a soldier. He didn't just agree with the woman at the well. He went with a humble heart, a tender spirit, and peace, and the alignment of God, and he spoke life, and he blessed them, and their lives were changed. You know the only group in the Bible whose lives were not changed? The crowd. You ever thought about that? What was the group that left Jesus in the end? The crowd. Jesus' most impactful ministry was not the crowd. He didn't run from crowd to crowd to crowd. Jesus' most impactful ministry was the slowing down one life at a time, one conversation at a time, all along the way. There's an awesome book out there called The 12 Who Changed the World, because Jesus slowed down and spent time with a few people that it multiplied the impact of change radically. The mob is never going to get it right. The mob has never gotten it right. In fact, all through history, all through biblical history, when the crowd ruled, bad things happened. And God called up a leader to speak truth into the midst of it, and things begin to change. That's why we slow down and we have life-transforming conversations. God speeds up in that heart and changes a heart toward his truth of the gospel, and then that is multiplied in their lives in powerful ways. Jesus tells a story about casting seed in a field. I love the story. You may have heard the story, but it's a parable of the sower. And it shows this sower getting seed and walking out in the ancient Palestine farmland, and he's casting the seed. And it says some of the seed fell on the path where people are walking, and the birds came and picked it away, or it got trampled. And other seed fell among some thorny ground, and it started to go, but the weeds and the thorns choked it out. And other seed, it fell on kind of rocky ground, which was really like an underlying, it's very light soil and rocks underneath it, huge boulder rocks underneath it. So when the sun came, it didn't have any ability for the root to come down. It died away. And it said some fell on fertile ground. And when it fell on that fertile, good soil, it produced 50, 80, 100-fold, far beyond what they could have ever imagined happening. Now, why did he say that? Well, we've preached on that many times before, but I think in this context, a couple key things I see. One we see is the extravagant blessings of God to us. There's so much blessing we can afford to waste it. We can cast it everywhere. You can't run out of the blessing. There's so much of it. But there's another side to it as well that was really clear. The blessing that falls on fertile ground produces and multiplies radically. That is the slowing down. That's the intentionality. I want to make sure and hit that soil. Jesus did that in amazing ways. One life at a time. That's what we get to do. And I don't want you to be afraid that I don't have everything I need to know. We'll never have everything you need to know. That's why every morning we sanctify our hearts in the Lord. Every day we get up and we read a little bit more of this precious word of God that we have in the midst of this life. And we learn a little more and we align more to God so we can hear truth and evil, and we can separate the difference, and we can give hope that lasts. And we can absolutely know the way of Jesus. If it's not the way of the Bible, then it's not the way of Jesus. I mean, those are really clear, and they're easy for us. So a summary I put in your outline for you, just to hold on to it, is this. We slow down with our neighbors because it helps us be intentional to living sent for God. Hold on to that. We slow down with our neighbors because it helps us listen and hear what God is showing us. We listen and then we hear what God is showing us so that we can be a blessing. We slow down with our neighbors because it helps us plant seeds of hope that God will harvest. In fact, the slowing down and the listening kind of makes the soil fertile. And as we slow down and listen to God, it makes our heart align with God. We slow down so because it causes a multiplication of hope that spreads rapidly beyond us. Imagine the multiplication that went on in the early church in the book of Acts. It wasn't with the masses. It was one-on-one with people sharing the hope that was within them. You know, when COVID-19 hit, everyone was scrambling. And not just businesses, but also churches and pastors and leaders of every dimension. What do we do now? And one thing we realize in the life of the church is we can't do church in the same way. That God has called us to something far greater. We are now a dispersed church, and literally we're becoming the church that the church was originally meant to be. Not that we don't need to someday come back and gather as the body, because that is where we continue to encourage and nurture and strengthen one another. The regathering will never end. God always called the church together. This is a time and place and a season. But for now, we are equipping and we're getting better at learning what it means to live sent. That is the nature of the church. You know, when someone asks you, what church do you go to? When they ask me, what church do you go to? I say, well, I pastor Christ the King Church. And immediately they say, oh, that's the church down the road. Oh, I vote at that church. Oh, they've got beautiful lawns. Or it looks like a lot's going on there. They identify a location and a place. But this location and place is not the church. Guess what? We could sell this tomorrow for a hefty price, and we would still be the church. It has nothing to do with this. The reason we have this, the reason we expand, the reason we keep it up, the reason we want it to be engaging is because we want to more opportunity to engage the community. The church is you and me. The Bible describes it as ekklesia. The Greek word that means a called out company or an assembly. Hear that? A called out assembly. That's what the church is. You are called out to be the church in the world. You're not called to be secular. You're not called to live by every piece of information that we get in the world. You are called to be different. You're called to be discerning. You're called out of the norm in order to bring life. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building, you, me. That's why Peter says, sanctify your hearts in the Lord. Because it reminds us we are the church. If you're listening online and you've never considered being part of a church, I want to encourage you to think again. Because what you might have thought is, I don't have the time to go do what the church is doing. Or I don't know anybody over there. Why do I want to come here? I get it. But if you ask the Lord Jesus in your life, and you say, God, I want to follow you. I want your wisdom and I want your authority. I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. I want to live with you in heaven forever. I want to be life-giving. I want to be able to share blessing. I want to be a part of something that is life-giving and not something that continues to bring a spiral of death in the midst of the world. I want to be a part of that. God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to follow you. If you're saying that in your heart today, we applaud you. You're saying, I want to be a Christian. Literally what you're saying is, I want to be the church. It's not us and them, it's we. We are it. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1. I put this on the screen because you and me are the church. and God has called us and he sent us and we have purpose and we get to be a blessing. But this is the blessing God has already given you. Paul writes it in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "For this reason, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of sin." Hear that? You don't need to be afraid. Just be vulnerable to the Spirit. See, I can make myself not so vulnerable if I become more knowledgeable. But that's just about me. If I'm vulnerable to the Spirit of God, Paul is saying that he will give you wisdom. I need to leave room for the Spirit, not just what I know or think. It says that you may know, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Hear that? The eyes of your heart enlightened. The holiness of God. That you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. Hear that? He's giving this to you. It's on a platter. It's saying, take it. He wants you to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance. We want everyone to have that. We don't want people to get better life in this world and not have life in the next. That's the decision point, folks. We gotta know that. If I'm leading people down a line by which they don't know Jesus Christ, then I have not served them well. And society's not going to do that. It's just going to leave that out. It's our role. It says, I want you to know about the immeasurable greatness of his power, God's power toward us who believe. That's the authority. Get that? According to his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What a beautiful name, we say. No more powerful name. He says he put all things under his feet and gave him as the head over all to what? The church. He gives it to us. And everything's coming under his authority. He's coming again. We are the body, the fullness of him who fills us all. Do you have some hope, church? It's okay to be vulnerable. Slow down, you get this. Inheritance, power, wisdom, authority. Just sanctify your hearts in the Lord. It's yours. And we can slow down and be the kind of church that God so desperately needs in a world right now. These are trying times. Economically, racially, pandemic, stress in work, stress in marriages, stress in relationships. My goodness, we can have some conversations. Don't be afraid. You have the hope within you. So seize it. Let it move in your power. I want to pray for your church, and I want to pray for those of you who are viewing online or anyone that has not asked the Lord Jesus to be in that center place. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you for the grace and for the forgiveness, for the mercy, for the direction, and the privilege to be called your very own. Father, I pray over this church. I pray over all who are engaging with us online, for those sitting in this room, for the likes and shares that will go and touch hundreds of other lives and maybe other lands, that, Father, we will hear the truth of your word and we will be able to bless and bring life. That we would be a discerning people, listening not only to the struggles and things we hear in our culture, but listening most intently to the wisdom you want to pour in us through your word, the Bible, that we can speak truth and hope that leads to life, not practices and procedures in ways that just enable death. God, what a privilege we have to be your very own. Father, I pray today for anyone who's listening and watching and engaging, that your Holy Spirit would knock on the door of their heart. If they have not let you in, may their heart be tender today for the truth of your word. May you come into that heart. Father, may you save that person for salvation to eternity. That the blood of the cross that forgave me and all believers from sin always, that the same blood is forgiving that person and bringing them into eternity with you. And to get today, Father, I pray that we'll walk together as one and helping each other know what it means to follow. For you are awesome, and what you called us to is good. We pray for our world. We pray for struggles. We pray for justice. We pray for those struggling in marriages and depression, for job losses, for struggles with rent. Father, let us be the church. Show us. Give us direction. We're listening. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sustaining us. We thank you that the sun rose this morning, and we get to wake up with an anticipation to serve you. God, for your graciousness, we thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name.